We're in the book of Ephesians, and we're in lesson 30. And it's great to have the Word of God once again. But we left off in verse 19, and it reads, "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God." Verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." If you think about this, this concludes, you know what a doxology is? It's just to give praise to God for what he shared. And this is the first section, and what it is, when he read verse 20, he's giving that for the first section that we went over in the first three chapters. He's thanking God. In verses 14 through 19, Paul did pray that the Ephesians saints might grasp the greatness, and not just a mental grasp of it, but and the understanding of it, and be enlightened. But he prayed for, like he prayed for them in chapter 1. But now he's praying that they might grasp the empowerment side of it and the working side, that it may not be just the doctrine that resides in their understanding, but the power that works in them. You know, we have power in the blood. There's power in the blood that raised a dead man and made him alive. I believe in that. But God also puts his Holy Spirit inside of us, and that Holy Spirit's part of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So you have all those in working inside of you. Now look at the expression, the power that works in us. You remember back in chapter 1, as we was looking at, he talks about wanting to know the exceeding greatness of his power, and which was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That there's power in that. And Paul is saying, hey, I want you to know, Ephesians, I want you to know this great power there. And the power that we have, God has shared his power with us. We don't have to guess. We don't have to, you know, think about it or whatever. There's power that God has explained to us and have given us. And I'm not talking about power to walk through that wall right there, or power get out there and stop in the name of Jesus that car before he runs over top of you. That's foolishness, if you ask me. There's power in the Word of God that you got to think about, but it says according to the power that works in us. And you know you can have a battery, right? Many of us have batteries laying around. Isn't that what? And there's power in it, but it's not doing anything, is it? Until you hook it up, right? There's power there. And it's just sitting there. That's what we call potential energy. It's the energy is there, but it's potential energy you tap in. But there's a difference between potential energy and kinetic energy. Okay? I think many of you know what I'm talking about as far as this. Potential energy is what is stored up and able to be used. But kinetic energy is energy that is in use, that you're already using, and it's being used, and it's working, and it's going. See, we got a battery inside of us, a potential battery that we energy, but you also got an energy that's working inside of you right now. And I'll be honest with you, without point, you know, making me feel bad. Okay, we all have that power inside of us that we can tap in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he saved us from rose us from dead. It's an energy that will magnify who you are, that inner man. You know, that's real energy of, you know, who Christ Jesus is. Those terms in physics are important, but it's the same way in a spiritual reality. That's what I just shared with you. That energy is available to us, guys. And he is talking about wanting the power, not just to be something to know is available, but something that you can have working in you right now. That's important, because if you've got that power working inside of you right now, guess what it's going to do? It's going to make some good decisions, help you make some good decisions, isn't it? It's going to, based on not emotions. You know, we talked about prayer requests this week, and each one of us got sicknesses, you know, dealing with, or job situations, or just anything popped up. Well, you know, we can make some bad decisions based on emotions. But you tap into who you are in Christ, and you sit down for a minute like, okay, I'm going to make a rational decision here. You know, many of you know I train, and poor guys that I train sometimes, you know, I blow up. You know, we talked about this in the past. You know, there's two types of people. They blow up or they clam up. You know, if you clam up, you store all that inside of you, and you're building this, building that, building that. But if you go ahead and blow up, say, why did you do that? And then you just, you know, realize and say, okay, let's, what we're going to do about it. You know, so I had to apologize to one of the trainees. This man, he was just losing it. And I called him a baby. You know, a grown man, a baby. And he goes, well, I'm just going to tell my, you know, boss that me and you just can't work together. I said, okay, baby. Oh. You know, and, you know, I'm like, did I just say that? I just did say that. So you know what happened? He looked at me and said, Ed, I really like you. I love you, Ed. That's what he told me. This guy, I don't know him for. He goes, and you're just like me. We just blow up, and we smile, and we go on about business. See how it was? So that was a lot of energy stored up, but that's energy I shouldn't have tapped into. But, you know, I don't sugarcoat it, guys. When your life is on the line, when you're driving an 80,000-pound bomb, ton, you know, you can't joke around with these guys. You got to be straight-faced and straight-forward and say, this is the way it is. Now, if you're sweeping a broom, you can lighten it up a little bit. But still, that broom could be very dangerous in somebody's hand, can't it? Well, yes, it can, especially if you walk up behind them. But look, the thing is about, he wants us to operate in our life, being used and functioning in our life, that energy that we have. He doesn't, you know, want the power that... Excuse me. He doesn't want the power that you have and all the resources that you have to be dormant. You ever think about that? You ever think when you witness to somebody or talking about who you are in Christ and stuff, so sometimes you just are reserved about just telling who God the Creator is and who Jesus Christ. Some of us are. We're like, I wish I told him about that. You walk away, right? You may never have another chance. But that power's inside of you, and I'm sorry, guys. I've been around the block several times, and when somebody starts to make fun of God the Creator, that's with me, I'm going to come out. That power is going to come out, and it's sometimes it's not ugly. It's the straight face, and you know. I just know that when people walks away, they feel victory in what they said against your God, your Creator, and your Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible that you have. See, they think they have all the answers and all the power, but it's not true. You know, recently, I don't know if you ever saw that song, what was it? The songs that the atheist has no song, and Steve Martin, you remember Steve Martin, the banjo player and the comedian? Well, they talked about the atheists don't have a song to sing like we have hymnals. And they talked about they take God and make him a lower G. And take he and make him the lower he, H. So it's something like they don't have a hope, guys. They think they have power, but they don't have the hope that you and I have. So he's praying here that be infused with the power in the life of the believer, and is working in us by the Spirit in that inner man. That's what the whole context of the chapter 3, but we've been looking at, is about the inner man and Christ indwelling in us. You know, to comprehend and the understanding of His greatness, of that eternal purpose. That's what Paul is trying to explain to Ephesians here. We know the book of Ephesians is the second book of doctrine for us. And it talks about the advanced mystery truths up there, okay? But we live right here now, don't we? So we can tap into that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him, unto God, just a song of praise and doxology is what He's saying, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. If you notice some things there, our mighty God who has power to work and do things and to accomplish things. That's what's saying there. He's able to do it. But verse 20 says, now unto Him that is what? Able. Don't you want somebody that's able? You know, I look at us sometimes, we are able to do some things, aren't we? But are we really able to do some things? No, no. You know, I mean, I think of the age that I am, I'm like, I wish I was 30 some 40 years or younger and some things I want to do that I'm able to do. But I have to back up and say, guys, I can't do that no more. And that's hard for a guy, you know, to say, I just can't do that no more. But once you understand, say, you know something, but I can do this. I am able to do this. But look, remember in Daniel, those three Hebrew children? You remember their names? Let me hear that. That's their Gentile names. Do you remember their Hebrew names? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, if I pronounced that right. That's their Hebrew names. Well, when they went in that fire, didn't they say he is able to deliver us? They was not scared at all. He said, God, but God, you know, is able to deliver us. And they told Nebuchadnezzar that. Told the king that. You know, and our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if he don't, and if he won't do it, and if he doesn't care and he don't want to do it, that's all right. We're not going to question God. You know, I shared that in, if I can remember through my memory, the Battle of Dunkirk. If many of you know that history, that the Germans was coming down on the 300-some thousand British, and they put them in a hole in Dunkirk, and they had opportunity to squash them, do away with. But for some reason, Germans halt their attack, and they radioed back to England three words: "But if not." And they knew what that "but if not" was, that they read the Bible in the churches there. They knew their Bible, believe it or not. At one time, most churches knew their Bible. But they knew what that meant. But if not, if you don't come get us, but if not, we're still standing for truth. And they evacuated, 300-some thousand out there. And some of them got captured. But that right there, they knew what Daniel 3 said. You and I can know what Daniel 3 says, but if not, you know, I'm still going to stand for truth. And many of you have, praise God, hallelujah, but many of us are still trying to climb, trying to figure out what to stand for. But you stand for truth. Jude 24 says, "Now to him that is able to keep you from falling." Who's Jude talking about? Talking about God and Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." Most of us have the good idea that God doesn't work. Well, let me put that back up a little bit. Let me take a deep breath. Many of us think and might have an idea that God doesn't work, or God doesn't do things. And I know we talked about that, right? But think about this. When we talk back in Romans, when we saw Paul say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it works." You think about that for a second. "I am confident in it because I know these things work." What is God doing?
Saving people from the pits of hell.
You hear that, didn't you? He saves people. So is God doing anything today?
Absolutely.
You know, he saves people by the gospel, the grace of God, that Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again. He takes a dead man and makes him alive. I think that's miraculously,
no kidding.
You know, I think that's the most wonderful thing in our life, because, you know, if I know your testimony, many of you right now was dead at one time, you know, and now, you know, there's not a shadow of doubt that you know that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. Amen. I'm not talking about when you was a little kid and you went down there and they drug you by the riverbank. You know, I love the old preachers down home. They say you can be baptized to the tadpoles, know your social security number. It still ain't going to get you saved. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us today. Amen? So look, he says that is what he's saying in Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him," that's to God, "he works, he does, and he accomplishes things." And the measure of that is that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's quite a measure there. Quite a measure. And he's able to do it. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what? All that we ask or think, according to the power that what? Works in us. We gotta understand that, guys and gals. Now, it is important that once you notice the passage, because there's a great deal of misunderstanding in the lives of people because they take that passage out of context. Many of them will stop right there and say, above all, you ask a thing, period. So you ask the Lord anything you want, no matter what, you're going to get it. And if you don't, well, he just didn't like you today. Or he just didn't hear you today. Or you got sin in your life. How many times have you heard that? Or you know, that type of thing. That's hogwash, guys. That's hogwash. You believe Christ died for your sins. You put your faith in his faith. How much more faith do you need? Because it's his faith that's found faithfulness. And Paul is not saying that God is able to do for you more than you ask him to do, or more than you think about asking him to do when you pray. It is not what he's saying in that verse. When he says that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all what we ask, he's referring to what we just read and what we went over in verses 14 through 19. That's what it's referring to, that inner man, that who you are, and strengthen you with might and will. He's not just saying that anything you kneel down and ask God for, he'll do it, or more than that, then he will do more than you would ask for. How many of you, and be honest, have got down and asked the Lord to do some things and, you know, just asked him to say, Lord, take this car payment off my back, just something like, you know what I'm talking about, just anything. And, you know, well, it didn't happen. Well, let me pray a little harder. That type of thing. It's not talking about this guy. Prayer, we talked about this back and forth amongst each other. Prayer is talking, communicating back to God the Father. You know, you can tell God anything you want to tell him. He's there listening to us. But he don't say he's going to do it in this. But look, he's not saying, but he's referring to what he just talked about in those verses 14 through 19. We got to understand what's the context of the subject matter is. You know, too many times we pick and choose out of things that I'm going to hold to this verse, but I'm not going to hold this verse. How many people you know right now that claim that Acts 2:38 is the gospel that saves them today? Repent and be baptized for remission of sins, that you receive the Holy Ghost, and the evidence of that speaking in tongues. Come on now, you know. Probably hundreds of people and family members tied up in that. But they don't read six verses down when they sold everything they got and gave it at the feet of the apostles. And the apostles gave to them their needs. You don't hear them doing that, do you? Boy, couldn't you build a big church off of that today? Big building fund, say, you sell everything you got. This is what the Bible says, Walt. You know what I mean? And you feel guilty. You know, you want to do what God says to do. There are many of us that way. Who wants to be right for God? I do. So, you know, the things like that, you're like, it tells me to do that. But what they do, they took it out of context. That's why you better rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. You know, you don't give 10%, you give 100%. That's what Jesus Christ did. You know, it went from 10% tithing to 100% when he walked this earth. Now, how many of you are doing that? No. It ain't about tithing and stuff. It's about who you are in Christ. And, I don't beat you up, do I? About stuff like that. You give because you want to give. You know? I'll take Brown's tickets right now. Now, just joking. Don't go there. This will be on him. So he's not talking about that he's doing that and you're praying for, but he's talking about the prayers in the previous verses and or not just any prayers. You got to look over that. We've studied that. Go back and look at your notes. Go back and look and listen again. God will take these things that Paul says he is able to do, all that I'm asking him to do here for you. He is able to energize that doctrine in you in a way that he's able to do more than that. Man, I'm excited about this because I think I know the doctrine for the grace of God today. And I'm standing in it, and I'm baptized in it, if I can say that without being insulted. But you know, I'm indoctrinated in the gospel message, and I think I know, but he's going to do more than that in me. And sometimes I'm like, wow, what is this power? Because that's him working in me. You with me? It's not me working in me. Me working in me, I'm back here on the couch waiting on the Olympics finish. You know? Or waiting on the Browns to win a game. Indians are doing okay. But look, you know, but look, what you ask and think is human viewpoint. Now, we talked about this a couple evenings ago about our minds. You know, our human viewpoint can't comprehend what God says. You know, we talked about the universe. Remember, guys? We talked about other universes out there. And we're like, man, our minds can fathom that, can't it? We can reach out there and say, wow, there's more stuff out there. But look, he is not saying that God is able to do more than what you pray. See, God's working is far beyond all the wisdom and human viewpoint and all human expectation and all human standards that we have. He's not insulting us because we do have human wisdom, and if we base it on the Word of God, it's going to expound that even more. Now, how many scientists you know out there that's teaching our kids outside of a Christian school, if you don't mind me saying that, or they're teaching our school our young kids based on the book, the scientific book that we have in our hands today. Very little, isn't it? Very little. Go back to Isaiah 55. I haven't heard nobody turn any pages yet. You? Oh, I haven't? I thought you was already there. Isaiah 55. Keep your hand in Ephesians. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That's very important, isn't it? In other words, God Almighty's thoughts are so high, you can't reach them, guys. You know, in our human minds, we can't comprehend what God is doing right now. But we have His book. It says we can comprehend. We just got to believe God, don't we? And stuff, and you can't reach them. And that is much difference in the way you and I think. That's human viewpoint, and the way God thinks. You guys know back there in the garden when Satan went and deceived Eve. You know what he did? You had God's word viewpoint. You had Satan's viewpoint, and he introduced one more viewpoint. What is it? Human viewpoint, man viewpoint. And as I stand here today, I'll be willing to say that human viewpoint, our viewpoint, is just as powerful as Satan's viewpoint and God's viewpoint. Because your human viewpoint can deny God's word. It can even deny Satan's word. But your viewpoint will lift up and say, I don't care what anybody says, this is what I believe. And guess what you just did? You became your own authority, guys. You know, that's pretty important. I mean, we teach our kids authority from the time they're born. And then when they get out on their own, we want them to understand the authority that you and I have today is God's authority, isn't it? And we have a book. But sometimes they go on and create their own authority. And you're like shaking your head like, son, oh my, why did you do this? You know, and to me, I have to back up and say, okay, what are you going to do about it? You know, how are you going to get out of this mess? Because daddy's wallet's getting thin. You know? I'm sorry. You can only have so many garage sales, can't you guys? but think about this. In other words, God's almighty thoughts are so high that you can't reach them. And your human viewpoint goes up there. Look at verse 10 again. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth a bud, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, water comes down. Boy, we needed that this weekend, didn't we? Yeah. Water comes down and the rain comes down and the snow comes down and it gives nourish. And it accomplishes purpose. It does the job, don't it? Mm-hmm. Now, some areas right now it's doing too much of a job because it's flooding. That's because the ground's so hard. Can't soak it up and it got to run off. You guys know that. But verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. That's a great confidence you and I can have in God's word, by the way.
Amen.
It's not in our circumstances. It's in God's word, and He'll accomplish God's purpose. He says He will do God's work in God's way with God's word. With me? It's not what you and I are doing through whatever. It's God's word working in that. And He says, my word will not return me what? Void. You got God's word in you, you go to a lost person, you share that death's coming. The thing is, you don't want to die the second death. And how do you not die the second death? You trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. He takes you. He seals you. He saves you. You're secure forever. Okay? And they say, that's what you think. And you're showing them black and white on a piece of paper, and they still say, that's what you think. Okay? And they leave. God's word's still going to return him back to what he said he's going to do. If they take that free choice and they choose not to believe, that's not God's fault. And that's not you and I.
Our fault.
Thank you. Our fault. Okay? I had to include myself that day. But look, sometimes we get so tore up that he just wouldn't listen. What am I doing wrong? No, you just be clear about it and you just give them the words and you just say, you know, I guess you could say God bless. I don't know. You know, hope the word works work in you. But the thing is, it will not go out. It will not return without doing the job that he sent it out to do. So God's works through his word, and his word works as effectively and accomplishes those things that he sent out to do. Now in Israel's case that we just read, there is a purpose. In the church, the body of Christ, there is a purpose that word's going to work in. And under law, there was a purpose. And under the grace program, there's a purpose. But it's true of God's word regardless. Right? You know, I'm not picking and choosing this verse to show my point. I'm the fact that it's true that God's word will accomplish what it's going to do in any dispensation.
Right.
You know, we look at the fact before the written word was, God spoke through his creation. And they spoke. Psalm says they uttered a speech. I'm like, whoa. And you can imagine Adam and Seth and Enoch and them down there hearing that stuff, what God was saying, and they're putting it down and they're relating it to their kids and their kids to their kids. How's that going with your kids and your grandchildren? You know what I mean? Somehow we miss that, don't we? We miss that opportunity. We're too busy. You know? We should never be too busy to share the gospel, the grace of God, or encourage somebody in the Word of God. You know that? Because I tell you what, I can discourage you in a heartbeat. Come train with me. You know what I mean? I need to control that. Because I know we always supposed to uplift somebody. But you know, if they're doing wrong, do you still encourage them to continue to do wrong?
No.
You know that. That's the same with here. So Paul was saying here that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think. He is saying that God is able to do far more than human viewpoint can imagine. He's saying, he's talking about the highest degree of what God is doing, going to do, and what His power can do in us. You're back there in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now the measure of, according to the power that worketh in us. Remember when we went back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on the right hand in the heavenly places. Paul wants the saints to know what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His power, which He wrought in Christ Jesus. That's where the power's at. The power's not in you and I. Boy, there's people out there teaching that, don't you? You have power. You have power. You have power to slay people in the spirit. You have power to raise people from the dead. That's scary, guys. And you know for a fact in your heart that's superstitious. Spiritual show business, what it is. And notice the power of God. He says that it works in us according to the power that works in us. What is that power, guys?
Resurrection of Jesus Christ.
The power working in us is doctrinally explained to us back in the first three chapters that we went over. It's there. It's the power that raised Christ from the dead. And what did that power do? It's the power that took the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and gave Him life to Him and set Him on the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Power. People believing in Muhammad today, they don't have power like that, do they? You know that to be true. You know, but they convince people that it's the truth and all. People believing in Confucius and Buddha and all that stuff. There's no power in them.
Yeah, it's still in your grave.
That's right. You can dig up their bones. It is power that brought victory out of a seeming defeat. It gave life to death. And that same power that took Jesus Christ from the dead and raised Him up and seated Him up is the same power you and I have today. You know? To me, that, you know, it gave beauty to ashes. It is the power that brought victory to a seemly defeat. You know, we work out down here, and there's a young couple that goes to another type of church, and his mother went up to Cleveland over a heart thing. And they checked her out really good, and they said, "I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. Your pancreas is gone." You know, and she's like, and you talk to Aaron and Melinda, Melody, and you know, like, he comes in the day his mother died to the gym, you know, to get something there. And they're like, "Your mom just, what are you doing here?" He says, "She's got hope. You know, I'm just happy where she's at today." You know, people die without that hope, or you knowing that somebody is going to die without that hope, they're most miserable. You know, but that power that took them from the Word and made it work effectively in them, they wasn't scared about it. Let me ask you something right now. Are you scared to die right now? I'm not talking about here and, you know, get yourself killed, but are you honestly have a fear that you're going to give up your last breath? Think about it. You know, I'm not. You know, my loved ones died, gone. I know where they're at. They had the same hope I've got right now. Now, you know, would I like to live a little longer to see Sherry grow, get gray-headed, and our grandchildren grow, you know, get grow up? Well, yeah, that, you know, that's a hope. But you know something? I've got something far better than that.
Amen.
I'm serious. I've got sorry, and she does too, and you should too. Look, the power works in us. It's not just that it's there, not just that you know that the great power that brought Christ Jesus from the dead and set him on the Father's right hand is far above principalities and powers and set him on the head of a heavenly government. Not just that you know that you understand all the details of it and have that in your frame of reference because you studied the doctrine. I bet you any of us can say, yeah, it's there. But look, but it's that the power that works in who? Us. And that is working and it's moving in us in our life. And it's working in our life right now. I don't want to end here. But Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about this power and just verse 20 alone, how important it is to understand that the things that was we studied before and you gave us to understand, it's now taking root in our life, and what a difference it can make in our personal life. And in our personal life, it'll make a difference in our local church's life. Father, I ask that as we leave this study today in this church, that we think about a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.